Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Ready to feel more reassured about your future? Start or top up your pension today. Visit zurich.ie to learn more.
Now, RTE's 2024 annual report has today been published. It shows a €4 million drop in licence fee income last year, a €5.5 million surplus and higher costs from major events. There are also questions around salaries, severance, pensions and even disputed artwork and land. We're joined now by RTE Director General Kevin Backhurst to get some feedback on this report. You're welcome to the programme, Kevin.
Thanks.
The licence fee income actually fell last year while costs went up. I mean, what's happening there? Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I think, look, if people remember back, this is some time ago now, but if people remember back to the beginning of 2024, we were still emerging from the crisis and trying to tackle some of the issues that came out of that at the beginning of the year. And it was a rough period at the beginning of the year in terms of licence fee sales. I think it's fair to say across the rest of the year, the licence fee sales picked up. I just looked before I came down here, the licence fee sales this year are pretty steady on last year. So they have sort of, you know, they've reached an element. People are paying their licence fees, for which we're very grateful. So, you know, they have stabilised, which I'm pleased to see.
So when you're saying it's stabilised and the licence fee income fell on 2024, what's it looking like for this year? Has there been a recovery?
Well, it's about the same level as 24. So the sales in 24 fell from 23, if you like. So that was year on year, the licence fee, the figure you'd mentioned. Mm-hmm. So the sales this year are broadly in line with the year last year.
Would you have expected more of a pickup?
I don't know. It's hard because, you know, there's a significant amount of historical evasion, people not paying their license fees, which, you know, and UMPOS do a really good job trying to collect the license fees. But, you know, they have to deal with that. There's also a significant number of households who say they don't have a TV set, so they don't pay the license fees. So, you know, we're dealing with a long-standing issue here about the overall level of sales of licence fees.
Does it also get to the heart, though, of public trust? And do you believe that public trust has been earned back yet?
No, we're working hard to earn back public trust. I think I always said you lose trust very quickly. And, you know, RTE lost the trust of a significant number of people out there. And it takes a long time to regain that trust. And we've seen that with other institutions, both here and elsewhere, that when you lose trust, it's a long process to build it back. But, you know, I do hope people will look at this year's, well, the annual report that's just been published for 2024, which does demonstrate we have got an absolute handle now on our finances. We delivered a surplus last year. We are pretty confident we're going to deliver a surplus again this year. We are managing the finances properly. And the second thing is the annual report, if people read it, it's significantly thicker than previous ones because there's a lot more information. We said we would put more information that out there in the public domain, and we've done that.
What are the key challenges in regaining that trust?
I think we've got to demonstrate day in, day out that we're running this organisation properly. Look, the audiences still come to us in huge numbers for programming, and, you know, I'm really pleased. If you look at the 2024 report, you rightly said costs were up, and that was because we delivered coverage of the Olympics. We delivered coverage of the Euros in the summer with huge audiences. We delivered coverage of the general election campaign and of the results, all of whom drove huge audiences, and the audiences really appreciated that. So we need to carry on delivering really great coverage, and hopefully this year people will have seen Traitors. But also at the same time, we need to demonstrate to people that we are being open, transparent. We're out there answering questions that are put to us, and that we can account for ourselves and how we handle the public's money.
OK, well, let's get to openness and transparency. The Minister for Arts, Culture and Media, Patrick O'Donovan, has said that as shareholder of RTE, he wants to be able to stand full square behind the current management and executive, who he thinks are doing a very good job in the backdrop of what was a cataclysmic situation, as he describes it. But he does want more information on certain issues. Let's talk about these pension payments. And RTE has flagged some historic pension top-ups that weren't approved at the time. How were they missed?
It's not true to say they weren't approved. They were approved, and I think that's been some of these leaks have actually got that incorrect. These were all correctly approved at the time. The issue with these was how they were reported in our balance sheet, and when our finance director went through the balance sheet, she felt we had to make a slightly higher provision for these pensions than we made, but they were always there in the report. They were all approved correctly at the time, to the best of our knowledge.
So it was right that they were approved, you're saying?
Well, that's as far as I can see. I mean, let's take, there were eight individuals, right? The first four, as we said, are very historical. They are decades old. I mean, look, here's an illustration of that. Of the first four, three of those people are now aged over 90. One of them is aged over 100. So they are very historical pension things that were agreed many years ago. You know, the question was, did we provide enough in our accounts for the ongoing payment of that? And I think our view was we needed to provide a little bit more in our accounts. Not that they were incorrect payments. They were correct payments, to the best of our knowledge. The other four payments were connected with voluntary retirement in the last couple of exit schemes here. They were not members of the executive. They were members of staff, producers and so on. And they were proper agreements, as far as I'm aware, which, and we've looked into them, which is people decide to leave and they get a payment until they retire. And those payments are not huge. They are somewhere between 10 and 14,000 euros per person per year for a few years. And of those four people, I think three of them will have retired by this time next year.
All right. OK. But you're flagging them. Why then? What's your concern about openness and transparency?
Our CFO, our chief financial officer, went through our balance sheet and looked at, are there any outstanding issues that we need to bring to the attention of the minister and the government and UERA who work for the government in terms of things that we are tackling? And, you know, there was a relatively long list. Some of the elements of that list, unfortunately, were leaked in the last couple of days without the proper context. But they were flagged because they are things that we have dealt with or are dealing with, and we didn't want, but not because there's anything wrong with them. We just dealt with them in terms of the accounting treatment. Do we need to provide a little bit more in the balance sheet?
All right. I want to ask you specifically, because the minister brought it up. He talked today on the News at One about pension payments to survivors and to widows of certain individuals. Mm. And he wanted to ensure that these payments, that he as a stakeholder was ensured mm-hmm. that these payments were done properly. Can you tell us any more about these payments, when they occurred and for how long?
Well, those are the four I mentioned. So those are where three people are aged 90 or 100, over 90 or 100 years old. So they are very historic. They're decades old, those payments, and they're relatively small amounts annually.
They're receiving those payments now?
Yeah. Those are the four people who are still alive who are receiving those payments, and they were agreed decades ago. As I say, they were properly agreed, properly accounted for. However, we think there needs to be a higher provision in our accounts, but it's only marginal. It's not a huge amount. There's one of those individuals who's the widow of a former director general, the paperwork we have shows that was properly agreed, and I think even agreed by the minister at the time, which was also decades ago.
So will you be furnishing the minister with more information on this, seeing as he's looking for more detail?
Yeah, of course we will, yeah.
Now, we're hearing that RTE has this piece of artwork. It's generated headlines in the region of 100,000 euro.
That's also incorrect, by the way, valuation.
What's the valuation? What's it
well,
more like?
Well, it was most recently valued around 60,000 euros.
60,000, yeah. Not quite as much. Yeah. But it has been in RTE's possession for years. It may have only been on loan, or, you know, people will be wondering about this. Can you bring us more clarity around this ownership dispute?
Well, I can. OK, so the painting is by an artist called Gerard Dillon, who died in, I think, 1971. And it's a painting called Kitchen Interior with Seated Woman. And it's currently in a not very conspicuous place on an office wall. suffice it to say, we believe that it may well have been lent to us by an art gallery about 40 or 50 years ago, and we're trying to find the paperwork. You can understand that is not straightforward. The art gallery has been in contact saying they believe it was lent to us, but they also don't have paperwork definitively to show that. So we're trying to find out if it belongs to them
or to us. So they're saying they want it back?
They said they'd like it back, yeah. And to the best of our knowledge, you know, it may well be theirs. We need to try and bottom them out. And if it is, we'll give it back to them, obviously.
So what are you saying to them? You're saying...
We're saying we need to try to bottom out who owns it. But, you know, in the absence of absolute proof...
Is it being contended?
No.
Because it's currently up on a wall and has been in an office.
It's been here for 40 years at least, yeah. So... it's the first time to our knowledge it was raised with us was within the last few months. And since then, we've been trying to find out whether they have any proof of their ownership or whether we have any proof that it was loaned to us or bought by us, which we're still looking through boxes to try and find that out. But look, in the end, if there's no proof and if they swear it's theirs, we've no reason not to think it's probably not.
OK, but you want to check the paperwork first before you hand it back?
Well, I'd like to, as far as we possibly can, before we just hand it back, yeah, sure.
Because you're is it because you're looking at the value of that at 60,000 euro and saying every penny counts here?
No, it's because we're looking at who rightfully owns it.
All right. OK. So that is an artwork, because people may be wondering, you know, where was it? And was it a sculpture? Was it,
no,
was it somewhere else? Was it in someone's house?
It's a painting.
But it's on the site and it's in an office somewhere.
It's in an office on a wall. And we just had a camera crew from the 6-1 filming it. So you can see it on the 6-1.
OK. All right. Now, Minister Patrick O'Donovan was also reacting earlier to details of this severance payment. It was a huge amount of money, Kevin. It cost the station €475,000 back in 2024. And the minister said it struck him as being very high. Would you agree that that's a huge amount of money to pay someone?
Well, I would, but we went through this a couple of years ago in terms of executives leaving here. And this has become quite historical by now. I mean, this was an individual. It went through the WRC. There was an agreement reached at the WRC. The amount includes legal costs as well. And I think if you look around now, you look at disputed exits of executives, and if people dispute it and don't go through the right process, it can cost over €1 million. So it's a lot of money, and we didn't like paying that. I explained it at the time. But I also explained that I needed new leadership for this organisation, and some people, you know, there were a number of people who left, and we needed to bring in new leadership.
Were there ways of bringing that severance payment down? That you tried to explore?
Oh, yeah, we tried to explore it, yeah, of course. But it went to the WRC in the end, and then it was an agreed process through a proper process. And it was agreed there between the two sides.
And do you think we'll see severance payments like it again?
I hope not. I've no plans for it. I mean, absolutely. It can never guarantee, you know, you never know, like, if you get into a dispute with someone, you need to exit them. It wouldn't be sensible to say we'd never do it. But I give you one guarantee, which is I tried to avoid it at all costs.
In terms of staffing, Minister Patrick O'Donovan has made clear his hopes that you will live up to this promise of shedding part of the workforce in RTE. There's a target of 100 people leaving the organisation this year. Mm-hmm. Is that on track?
Yeah, it is broadly on track. Yeah, it is. You know, we're obviously still in the middle of the voluntary exit programme, but we've been managing staff numbers very carefully here. And when people have retired or resigned, we've looked very carefully at, can we suppress that role, which we have done in a number of cases. So, you know, we're very mindful. You know, it was really important for the future of RTE that we got multi-year funding. We only got that off the back of a robust strategy that was approved by government, but it was also approved, you know, we went out and asked staff and we asked the public and so on about, was this the right strategy? And, you know, we're convinced it's the right strategy to build a great organisation for audiences, mm-hmm. and a great place to work. And, you know, but part of that deal was we will deliver the strategy and in return for the multi-year funding. So we're absolutely focused on doing that.
And that the 100, target of 100 will be reached by year end, in your view?
Yeah, well, we're pretty confident. I mean, you can't say 100% now because it's still 3 months to go and we're still waiting for some replies to the exit programme. But, you know, we'll be there or thereabouts for sure.
All right. The report shows that the top 10 earners, including management within RTE, they're highlighted within this. You yourself earning €339,954.
Well, that includes my pension, by the way.
When you take in your pension and various allowances there. Adrian Lynch, Deputy Director General on €292,285. Patrick Keelty, €255,657. And Miriam O'Callaghan, €246,708. Mm-hmm. People listening will say they are incredibly high salaries. You've said before that no one will earn more than you, but some of those salaries remain very high. How are you justifying that to people at the moment?
Well, what I said was no one at RTE will earn more than the Director General. And one thing I can say to people listening is that by the 1st of January next year, that will be the case. No one will earn more than the Director General at RTE. We will have sorted that out. And if you look back over a number of years, you know, we had people on €500,000, €600,000, €700,000 a year salary without pension contributions. So, you know, we have brought all those down to under the level of what the Director General earns here. And in terms of, you know, the others you mentioned, the management team, and I should say, you know, we need to be clear, those numbers you quoted include the salary plus pension payments as well. So just to be clear about that. But
and various allowances as well.
Yeah, yes, in some cases.
Are they travel allowances?
No, some people had car allowances, although we're not giving those anymore. So, yeah, one or two of those include historical allowances, yeah, which they had before. But, you know, all I say to people is, look, I do understand that it's a lot of money. It looks like a lot of money to people. But we have benchmarked the salaries against our competitors in Ireland, against international competitors. And if we want to create a world-class organisation, we need world-class people at the top table. And, you know, we have people now. We have a director of audio who's just delivered fantastic changes to Radio 1 for audiences, which will be in place very shortly. We've got a director of video who's just delivered Traitors and a whole slate of drama with his team. You know, we got the Deputy Director General, Adrian Lynch, who is driving the transformation of this organisation. We got a commercial director who's on that list. The commercial director himself has brought in, you know, several million more than the previous year in his first year. So, you know, we are paying because we want to get the very best people, and we're in a competitive market. We're semi-commercial. We need to have the best people to deliver the best content for the audiences.
But with the pay cap in mind, and you had said, like, no one will be paid more than you, will your own salary increase as part of this recent pay deal for executives in commercial state companies? Are you likely to see a salary increase there? Mm. Will you accept that salary increase? Mm. And then will that raise the bar for everyone else?
Look, I don't know. I mean, that's a question for the chair and the board. It's not a question for me. You know, and they're going through a process, and they again are looking at benchmarking to make sure, you know, whatever their decision, it's in line with where the market is, if you like. What do I think? Look, it's not a matter for me. I took the job on the basis I'm in the job now. There was always a possibility your salary goes up, as it does for everyone.
And if your salary does go up, doesn't that, as they change the line for everybody else?
Yeah, I've said no one earned more than Director General, is what I said, yeah.
Okay. So that's something that could change potentially. You mentioned there new head of audio and head of video. There's much comings and goings and a big shake-up in the radio schedule. And one of the big name departures was Ray Darcy. He said, departing, that he was hugely disappointed with RTE management about how his departure from Radio 1 was handled. What's your response to that?
Look, I feel sorry personally for Ray. I think Patricia Monaghan, the head of audio, has explained as much as she can about that. I think, you know, it's always difficult when you make changes and individuals are involved. And Ray did a fantastic job with RTE for a number of years. But, you know, the decision was based on the numbers that they were listening to his show was based on audience research, significant audience research about what they wanted from the schedule. And in my view, and yes, I was involved with Patricia in this, you know, I feel it was handled fairly. He actually had plenty of warning that there could be changes in coming along for a couple of years. So I was quite surprised when he said he had no inkling about it. But, you know, I understand it's hard when it happens to anyone, particularly if you're in the public eye.
Have you spoken to him?
No.
OK, there we'll leave it. But just a quick question on people and looking for transparency, I suppose, from the national broadcaster. Can you tell licence fee payers that, you know, people aren't going to have to bear the cost of past financial mistakes?
I'm not really sure. What do you mean by that question?
Well, that people are kept informed about matters in a fully transparent way, and that you won't need more money by way of, I suppose, going forward in the organisation and rectifying past mistakes.
Well, all I can say is, you know, we have, as I said earlier on in this interview, we have delivered we've got absolute financial control on the organisation now. We delivered a surplus last year. We are pretty confident we'll deliver a surplus this year. We're managing money properly. We're being more transparent than ever about how we're spending people's money. And we're delivering, I think, most importantly, great programming and great content to audiences. So, you know, there was a price to pay in terms of the fall off in licence fees. But, you know, we're doing everything we can to make sure that we deliver the best possible organisation for this country.
RTE Director General Kevin Backhurst, thank you.